This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Well, good morning. You know, the world is in turmoil right now, and it's really not from the stories you see in corporate media, the talk of, well, babies getting eaten by alligators or gorillas or stuff like that. No, that's the breads and circuses. The real problem, the real big problem, is a financial problem. The problem with, well, nations around the world being slaves through debt to a world bank. Huh, we got a problem. Yeah, then we got politicians elected to serve the people, and they're not. It's sad. We can look back through history and see a lot of times, you know, that this has happened in the past. Perhaps we can actually look forward and ask ourselves the really tough problem. Well, tough question. What is America going to look like in the future? How are we going to be remembered? Man, how is Texas going to be remembered? And what, if anything, will you do to paint a better picture? Hey, Sam, let's start this thing. Roll the clip.
This is Rudy Valley again, stepping perhaps a bit out of character and singing a song from Americana, a song that has taken its audiences by storm, which may be explained by its theme, which is both poignant and different. Brother, can you spare a dime? They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream, with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, gee, we looked swell, full of that Yankee doodle dum. Half a million boots went slogging through hell, and I was the kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember they called me Al? It was Al all the time. Say, don't you remember I'm your pal? Buddy, can you spare a dime?
Okay. That's my cue. Let's get this thing started. Hey, you're listening to the Republic of Texas radio show. Let's check in with the folks. Hey, Doc, are you there?
Good morning. I'm here.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Alan, are you there?
Accounted for.
Sweet. Hey, we got a special guest today, and he's going to be joining us for the next 2 hours. His name is Tommy Attaway, and he's one of the executive directors over at Freedom Texas, freedomtexas.org. And let's reach out to him. Hey, Tommy, you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
I appreciate the invitation.
It should be really fun. Hey, I got something special for you to start the whole thing off. I know you're an author, and you really like studying Texas history and so forth. I'd asked Alan to cue up this book that we've been, I've been fascinated with. It's a book that his grandfather, Opa, was involved in, and he talks about, the past. Hey, Alan, you got that thing ready?
Roger, on my lap.
Okay, let's go to that really quick, and then we'll start the show.
Okay, this will take me about 30 minutes or so to read here.
Oh, let's keep it short. Go a couple paragraphs.
Okay. Start off, I think I saw more change in my life than any other generation in history, and everything is still changing. That's the only way to look at it. And the thing for me and my generation and the younger generations to do is just to get used to it. I've always been kind of naturally conservative. I'll tell you a little story that they always poke at me. Back when I was 5-6 years old, farm wagons was our mode of travel going back and forth to town. You know, an ordinary farm wagon is constructed, no springs on it, no top on it, just the wagon for hauling goods to town and home. Well, when I got to be 6 or 7, my parents got a little more money, and they were able to buy what they called a hack at that time. Now, a hack has springs and a top for shade. I rode into town one day with my folks, and they traded in the old wagon for a hack. My goodness, my parents thought, now we've got it made. They were on top of the world. Why, by golly, in a hack you could ride home in the shade. But as soon as we got into town, that new hack, and started to drive home, I started crying, furiously hollering, I want our wagon back! I want our wagon back! Where's our wagon? We don't want to give it up. And that's just characteristic, I guess, of not being able to make change so quickly, and I suppose that's very much natural instinct. My people, they started out with nothing. 160 acres of land, that's what they were deeded. The state of Texas wanted to get this country settled, so they wanted people to develop this land. So the state made provisions to give land to anybody who would enclose it, put a residence on it, get married, and develop it. So it was deeded over to them, 160 acres, and always we added on. There are several places up here, our land now, that were all different parcels that other people owned. They had the land, but they didn't have the backbone that my parents had. They sold out to my parents. My father just added on and enlarged it gradually. In 1872, he built a cabin. In 1898,
hey Alan, let me stop you right there, because I heard something that your opa said, and I want to jump in there. Now, did they say that the state of Texas deeded your land? I thought that you got it from the Republic of Texas, from Sam Houston.
Well, that's another one of those things where opa, he's thinking about the old times, but talking about the new. You know, back when, that was in 1846, I believe, it was actually deeded to us.
Okay, well, I kind of set what I wanted to set the tone for the day. Hey, Tommy, what's important with what's going on today? How are you feeling?
I'm doing fine. As I was kind of preparing for the program, I decided what my theme would be. And my theme would be is that in the history of Texas, we see a microcosm of the history of Western civilization.
Great. How does that start? Where do you start when you're trying to tell this story?
Well, I usually start with the idea that when the Spanish conquered Mexico, what is now Texas, of course, comes along with that. And Texas was a wild and unsettled place by Western standards, and of course you have the Native Americans there. Mm-hmm. So as the Spanish attempt to expand and establish control of the territory that they've won, one of the big changes between the relationship between the two is horses. The Spanish introduced horses into North America.
Okay.
Some of these horses are stolen by the Indians, and they now become much more mobile. So instead of just being hunter-gatherers, they now have the opportunity to expand their reach and be much more effective at raiders and especially in hunting the native bison.
That's curious that you mentioned that. I'm going to jump in real quick because the natives that were here in Texas were the Comanches, right? And they were notoriously fierce. Rah! And I heard a lot of bad things about how they treated people. They were really hostile towards their land being taken away. But I heard they were also aggressive on other Native American tribes. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. So you had a lot of warfare between the Apaches and the Comanches, and the Comanches essentially took out most of the eastern native tribes that did not acquire horses.
Ah, they got the first up on everybody with the horses. Hmm.
That's it. And so in order for the Spanish, in order to try and protect their frontier, you needed people who were tough, both physically and mentally, and had that backbone needed in order to fight the Native Americans.
Right.
Whereas in Mexico itself, the Native American population just was subsumed and became essentially serfs and slaves.
And so we're still in Spain, right? And
we're still in Spain.
We're still in Spain, and the Mexicans, well, man, because they're really the Native Americans, right? And then we turn them into Mexicans or something like that? How did that work?
What you had is you had a number of Spanish families that then settled to New Spain, which, of course, is part of Mexico. And they generally married and kept to themselves and owned everything. They used the native population, basically, as I mentioned, as serfs or slaves. There's a little bit of interbreeding between the two, but a native could never really make it into Spanish culture. Again, very stratified society. Hmm. And so what you now see in Mexico are the descendants of those Spanish families still own and run everything, and people whose heritage is mixed in with the natives are, you know, what we refer to now as the peones or peons.
Okay, so we're in Spain, and, the Native Americans down on the Mexican Peninsula are occupied, and the Comanches are running around North America, what we call America right now, with horses. And who's living in the land called Texas? Some people called it Tejas back then. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct, Tejas. So we have the first permanent settlement is in 1680 at Isueta. And, you know, and what's important here is that, you know, this is only 60 years after the Pilgrims. The other event that is significant here is Robert La Salle and French exploration. So La Salle lands in Matagorda Bay in the 1680s and proceeds to explore into eastern Texas and establishes a fort.
Okay.
So now we have conflict between the Catholic powers of Europe, Spain, and France. And, you know, this kind of, you know, mimics some of the European wars at the time.
Okay. Yeah, that can become quite a problem, huh?
Becomes quite a problem because, of course, France owns Louisiana. Spain owns Texas, and the boundary between the two hasn't really been set because the French claim is for the Mississippi rivers and all of the territory where water flows into the Mississippi. This becomes important later. The Spanish claim is essentially all of the land north of the Nueces River, where Corpus Christi is, and of course extends out to the Pacific Ocean into California.
Okay. Crazy. So where do we go from there? You know, I know the French end up carving out a little chunk of North America for themselves, and the Spanish already had a chunk, right?
Right. So now, in order to establish where the border is and maintain control of the territory, Spain now encourages more settlement to Texas. And, of course, you have the missions being built, you know, in the early 1700s, all the way from San Antonio, which becomes the capital of the province of Texas, along what is called El Camino Real, or the King's Highway, now designated the Old Spanish Road, all the way to Nacogdoches.
Okay.
So that gives us at Goliad, some of the other missions along the way that maintain that road and are essentially upriver from many of the rivers that flow into the Gulf of Mexico.
Very interesting. Hey, so when the French, you go where we need to go next, but I think something has to happen with the French selling off their chunk of land to the Americas, or the Republic of the United States of America.
Correct. So a lot of the guys that were in the Wausau expedition decided that Wausau was an ass, and they murdered him. This tended to put a crimp into the efforts of the French to expand into Texas, and so the Sabine River becomes the boundary between Texas and Louisiana.
Okay. Louisiana.
Of course,
go ahead.
And then, of course, in 1802, France sells Louisiana to the United States. And so now we have a border between Spain and the United States, and it is extremely thinly settled, and there's a lot of American adventurism and expansion underway. So after the War of 1812, we get the first of what are called the filibusters. And these are Americans who try to break off some of the Spanish territory of eastern Texas and establish either an independent entity or try to get the border changed between the United States and Spain. And the first attempt at creating an independent entity is called the Republic of Fredonia.
Oh, really? Ah, I missed that one.
Well, you know, you're not going to get these things in modern history books. It's all, like, too complicated and esoteric and things like that.
Fredonia, huh?
Wow. Yeah, Fredonia.
What did Fredonia look like? Who founded Fredonia?
A guy named Thomas McGee. And he was one of the guys who was trying to expand western United States. And he's eventually put down by the Spanish, captured the whole thing, kind of collapses, as most of these attempts do. Because along with the missions, you generally have a couple of presidios or military installations and forts. And so one in Nacogdoches is built, another one at Goliad, and those become like the border posts for Spain to station troops and guard its border with the United States.
Who was trying to take down Fredonia at the time? Was it Spanish and
the Spanish,
and the Indians, or the natives?
Yeah, the Spanish Empire, because Mexico is still part of Spain at this time, and this presents a bit of a problem because defending the border is a very expensive proposition in addition to fighting the Indians. So the Spanish government decides, okay, the solution to the problem is, as long as all of these English-speaking Americans are going to be pressing anyway, the solution is to attempt to buy them off. And the way that you would buy them off is, okay, you'll give them land and territory to settle. You know, let them settle it. Let them make some cash. They have to become Spanish citizens and swear allegiance to Spain.
Okay, bribery or whatever.
And this brings us to really Moses Austin and the Old 300, the first American settlers in Texas, officially.
These were the ones that were all given the Spanish land grants, right? Large tracts of land.
Correct. And that's really what the deal is. You know, the deal is that, okay, you know, we'll give you the land, you know, we'll let you work it, we'll let you become prosperous if you have the willingness to do it, but you've got to defend the territory, and you have to promise to become citizens of Spain.
Okay, so they made a deal with Spain, and it seemed like it was going to be really good for them, right? All they had to do was deal with the Native Americans and try to make a living on the land.
Right. Now, the problem is that this occurred in 1821 very early, and by September of 1821, Mexico is having a revolution against Spain. So the deal collapses.
Okay, all bets are off.
And
Mexico comes back, right?
Correct.
Oh, hey, that's the music. Hey, hang in there. We'll be right back in a short break. Got Tommy Attaway from Freedom, Texas.
My
Hold on. Can't run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. Wouldn't miss it for the sun.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices. And receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We're back. Republic of Texas Radio, we have Tommy Attaway. Tommy Attaway, well, what can you say about Tommy? Historian, author, well, advocate of a free and independent Texas. He's been telling us a little bit about the past and painting us a picture of Texas, this land that we live in throughout time. We were just, where were we? We were in, Texas was still part of Spain, and there was a, well, civil unrest in Spain. Hey, Tommy, what did they call, what did the Spanish call this territory? Was it Mexico, or did they have another name?
Well, they called it New Spain, and of course, that's the, just like in the Dutch colony in the North America, it was called New Amsterdam. You know, they tended to try and bring a European culture into the Western Hemisphere. And of course, and that's one of the themes here, is that from the European perspective, you know, this is a vast open area, you know, ripe for exploration and settlement. And of course, in the Spanish culture, being very Catholic, the idea is that any natives that happened to be there needed to be converted to Christianity or killed.
I know, that was kind of brutal, huh?
Kind of brutal.
That's taking
it lightly. We didn't have political correctness yet.
No, I know. Or multi-gender bathrooms?
No, didn't have that either. None of that.
But they had alligators
eating
outhouse. Right. Yeah. Okay, so Stephen F. Austin and all these other people got, you know, deals with the Spanish government in New Spain. And all of a sudden there's an uprising because people didn't like to be killed and maimed and murdered and bossed around and things like that. And what happened? The Mexicans or the natives actually finally won, right? What year was that?
1821. But it takes Mexico until 1824 to come up with a constitution.
They decided to have their government be a republic, right? And so they kind of copied.
It was very much modeled on the U.S. Constitution. So what you have is a federal republic of states, and a central government that has limited powers.
Tell me about that. And how do you see a republic versus a democracy like we're living in today? How would you describe, can you simply describe both of those?
Yeah, the idea of a democracy is that decisions, major political decisions, are made by the people themselves by voting. And this has the risk of that the people can vote almost anything. They can vote that Steve is a bad guy and needs to be exiled. And so one of the problems of a pure democracy is the respect of individual rights. And this is one of the things that a Republican form of government is supposed to be better at protecting, because of the idea that a government, generally in a Republican form of government, has more limited authority and power. And this authority and power is carried out by people chosen to represent the body of the citizens in a legislative format.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of get that. You know, I like the concept of a republic, which we've actually lived in one. It would be nice to have one back, so I'm kind of working
it would be. You know? I'm a fan of that form of government.
Well, good. That's awesome. Okay, so the decide, hey, we want a republic. Let's do that, right? And they got one, right?
And they got one. And, of course, the Anglo settlers from Austin's colony were supportive of the revolution because, again, Spain being a monarchy with a colonial governor who had essentially absolute power, that wasn't really where they were culturally. And, this was moving in a more Republican form of government, a more rights-oriented form of governance, and so it was supported by the Anglos. However, the Mexican government was unsure about expanding the program with bringing the Anglo settlers in, and so they were going to nix the deal that Austin had, until his son, Stephen Austin, and a lawyer from San Antonio, Jose Antonio Navarro, took a trip to Mexico City and impressed upon the people forming the government, which was heavily influenced by the Spanish families because they wanted to retain their wealth, that these deals needed to be adhered to or people would start to get a little bit nervous about the stability of the government.
So okay, that's the music. Hang on, Tommy. We got a long segment coming up. So, Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Humidity, odors, and air pollutants are building in your basement and crawl space, turning your home into an uncomfortable, unhealthy environment. Stop fighting this yearly battle. Get a Wave moisture control unit like Kathy did.
The smell is gone and the basement is now clean and livable. We created a very nice room in the basement and we love being able to spend time there.
Listen to what Paul had to say.
I have COPD and restricted airway disease. Since I put this ventilation unit in, it's made an incredible difference in my breathing and the air quality in only 3 weeks. It has amazed me. My son has asthma and lives in our finished basement. He has stopped coughing already.
Unlike dehumidifiers, Wave units are energy efficient, have have no buckets of water and will expel harmful gases and pollutants. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 888-618-WAVE. That's 888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
We're back. Once again, we've got Tommy Attaway from freedomtexas.org. Go have a look-see. Freedom Texas is, well, they're looking towards a free Texas. They kind of like the idea of freedom, and well, we support them. We were talking today about Texas, the land of Texas, how it had existed through time. And Tommy was just talking about the crazy days when the Anglos, the Europeans, were hanging out in, well, where we live right now, Texas, and it was called the Republic of Mexico. And I want to get back to you on that, Tommy, but first I want to tap Doc on the shoulder and say, what are you thinking there, man? Are we on track? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, no, and history has been told to us. I read Allen's book, and they foresaw many of the things that we're going through right now, and we can do better, but we're certainly not. Tommy's got a great book, and I guess you're going to talk about that in a little bit, and maybe the idea of his book is starting things over and doing it right, because for sure things are getting out of control right now.
Yeah, we're doing a little bit of fast and loose history here, but yeah, I want to talk more about, you know, where we're at and where Freedom Texas is at and so forth. But quick, Alan, anything?
Nothing to say. We're in trouble. Like I said, a few years back, one of my little cousins came home from the University of Texas, and She's taking a summer class, and I happened to have one of her workbooks laying on the counter down there at the house. And I walked in, and I just happened to saw it and flipped open to the first chapter, and what did it say? It said, Texas as a democracy. And I turned to my little cousin, the one that's going to law school now, and I said, you see anything wrong with this? And he says, Texas is a republic. And I said, good boy, good boy. I've kind of woken him up to what's going on. Pretty interesting.
It is.
I think I'd say we're in trouble. Oh, they've got our youth, and they've got our youth's minds, and very corrupting them.
We'll explore a lot of that stuff here. The second hours we'll be taking calls, but for now, let's go back to those crazy settlers that were in, well, what we call Texas today, and they're in, well, the Republic of Mexico. Well, Tommy, it's your show, man.
Okay, and the Mexican Republic is inherently unstable, as I'm sure that's a shock to all of our listeners.
Right.
So one of the problems, of course, is that because there's no tradition of education for the mass of the population, there's no tradition in really Western culture because the Spanish really didn't care that much about bringing any sort of Western governmental institutions to Mexico or to New Spain. The people really retain a lot of their old tribal habits, and of course, tribes are run by chiefs. So politics in Mexico becomes a fighting to establish who's chief of anything.
Uh-huh. No, it's crazy. And they did. They were actually more advanced down there in the Mexican Peninsula, if I were to call it that way, more advanced than where we live currently. You know, they had these big temples, they had big structures, but they also had, you know, the Aztecs, I believe it was, right?
The Aztecs. And so what happens is, you know, you had a very hierarchical society that was in place, and the Spanish come in, lop off the head, and put themselves in as kind of the head and keep a lot of the structures of that same society.
Right. And so they had a class-based system, the slaves and however you call them, slaves, the worker bees, and then the ruling class.
And the ruling class, you know, there is no middle class. And Republican forms of government really depend on a strong, educated middle class because that middle class is aware of their rights. They are people who actually work and produce things for a living. And so a successful Republican form of government, as we're used to, really doesn't have much in the way of a lower class because there's all of the economic opportunity that a vibrant economy provides so that people move up. They become more wealthy.
Right. And I hear that was kind of the downfall of the Republic of Mexico, the fact that the people didn't participate in a Republican form of government.
Yes, and I'm suggesting there's a lesson there for modern times.
Care to expand?
So if we look at what's happening today with our current economy, what you see with all of these globalist sorts of schemes and initiatives is the same sort of structure is being created so that you have an extremely wealthy upper class and a lower class of people who are struggling with low wages, no real opportunity to create wealth, and a shrinking, ever-shrinking middle class, which now is composed of a population that essentially becomes government minions or related to government functions.
Yeah, I see that when I look at the whole EU stuff. You know, that was one of my popular things to take a look at, and Brexit, and, you know, they lost their government. They don't have a government anymore. They're being dictated to. You see that as well?
Yeah, and if you look at, you know, where are the most prosperous counties in the United States located, they're all, with about five exceptions, within 50 miles of Washington, D.C.
Oh, really? Huh. That's terrible.
So what that's telling you is that you've got a wealthy class, which essentially runs the government, and the people who are government functionaries are the functional, now middle class of the country, and everybody else is being squeezed down into the lower class.
Okay, yeah, that That does suck. We'll go deeper into that in the second hour, but let's get back to the story of the land of Texas. Because at this point, I know the Republic of Mexico was about to make a big change. What happened? They lost their structure. They evolved.
They lost their structure, and Santa Anna ends up becoming dictator of Mexico, or as they call it in Central and South America, president for life.
Wow.
So this, of course, becomes evidenced in the actions of the federal government. And in Texas, it gets down to restrictions on further Anglo immigration into Texas that the Mexican government forbids it. And then finally, the breaking point becomes when a troop of dragoons is sent from San Antonio to the town of Gonzales to tell the citizens to give their cannon back to the government.
That didn't go over too well.
It did not go over too well, and so that starts the Texas Revolution. And a lot of the northern states in Mexico had already had similar leanings because they had been influenced by the Anglo settlers and were getting the idea that people had rights.
Huh.
So Santa Anna had put down a few revolts previously in some of the other states, and so he just now had the opportunity to keep going into Texas, and he did.
Yeah. Well, I guess he really didn't want a republic. He liked being God Emperor, right?
Absolutely. So I'm going to go just real briefly through the Texas Revolution. We'll kind of blow that through in short order. What happens is news of the revolution reaches the United States. It takes about a week for news to travel. So volunteers start to gather in the United States, Alabama and Louisiana, and of course we hear about David Crockett and the Tennesseans. And they decide to come to Texas because they're pretty aware that, you know, if Texas is successful in revolting against Mexico and breaking off, well, there's going to be tremendous economic opportunity there because it's a wide-open country ripe for settlement.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the people who fight in the Texas Revolution on the Texan side, only 1 in 7 had lived in Texas before the revolution started.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so this kind of shows, you know, that there was a pent-up demand for moving to Texas for opportunity, and that the dam had now been broken with the Texas Revolution. And, of course,
now, go ahead.
You know, this becomes an issue in Mexican politics because they see now as evidence that the United States was interfering in Texas all along.
Hmm. You know, Tommy, I know money was very different back in those days, and New Orleans had a great deal to do with the Texas Revolution, right? It was almost like an incubator for the people wanting to free Texas. And they didn't really have a lot of gold and silver. They really did take a lot of loans, and land was really important. Did you ever study any bits of that and how they actually, well, did business? Because I know New Orleans was filled with slaves and Irish people, and the Irish people actually lived worse than slaves, according to one book that I read. And it was kind of a crazy world, and it didn't look like ours. They didn't have Federal Reserve notes. They didn't walk around with gold coins or anything like that.
Oh, no. In fact, one of the reasons why the U.S. dollar has the size and weight that it does is so that it has the same silver content as the Spanish 8-real coin. So this way, the coins could be interchangeable. Every bank could print its own currency notes. And if you look at a lot of those old bank notes, what they are is a promise to pay. And so you could take that note back into the bank, and then they would give you the silver or gold coins in exchange. So the idea is that that piece of paper really represented that the bank had that amount of real money on deposit in the bank. And so
you had to have a lot of faith in the bank, though, right? Because, you know, they promised
a whole lot. Yeah, and so what would happen is the farther away you went from the town where that bank was, people might say, well, you know, I'm not really sure if that's real or not, so instead of that being worth $10, I'll only give you $5 worth of goods for it.
Right, because it could be totally worthless, too.
Or it could be totally worthless. And so that was one of the things, those systems were somewhat perilous because you didn't have the information that you needed in order to know whether the note was going to be good or not. So there was a considerable amount of risk premium involved. And so that's why people would then hoard and keep silver and gold coins, because there wouldn't be any doubt about its value, because if you were unsure, you could then weigh the coin and make sure that it had the correct amount of silver or gold content in it. So there was an easy way to verify the soundness of the money with coins that you didn't have with paper money. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the controversies going on at the time back in the United States about what was called the National Bank of the United States. And that the idea was that there would be a national bank whose money could be circulated nationwide, and they would have branches in each of the states so that you could go in and exchange that money for silver or gold coin so that you knew that it was good. Of course, Andrew Jackson, you know, hated that because it wasn't a power that was given to the federal government.
Yep, they always do that. Okay, well, I love the financial side, right? Because when I deal with the history of Texas, I look back and I don't have a very good understanding of that. I understand it doesn't look like what we look at today with all these Federal Reserve notes, credit cards, iPhone apps, this app, whatever. Hey, Tommy, I got us off track, though. Where were we?
That's okay. We're going to come back to it in the second hour with the book, because it's one of the themes in the book. Sounds funny.
Very good. Very good. So Texas got its freedom, right? You know, did we get to there in the story? I don't want to leave the people out.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's familiar with the Alamo. Everybody's familiar with Goliad. The only thing I'll mention about Goliad is that what Fanon was trying to do is that he was thinking strategically rather than tactically, and so he was trying to position himself in order to cover against possible invasion up a couple of rivers, while hesitating about going to the support of the Alamo, and that led him to get confused, and, well, that cost him and several hundred men their lives. So one of the things is, you know, Fanon doesn't come off that well in history. Part of that reputation is deserved. Part of it is because he was too intellectual in order to act, which is another theme. Another theme that I'll pick up with San Jacinto is it's one of the first covert operations of the U.S. government. Two companies from the U.S. Army stationed in Louisiana were secretly dispatched to reinforce Sam Houston's army, and they provided the spearhead of the attack at San Jacinto. Again, Andrew Jackson's not above helping the course of history along, because Sam Houston was the political protege of Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
And so this is one of the, this plays now into the post-independence Republic of Texas, because in 1836, Martin Van Buren, who considered himself to be the successor of Andrew Jackson's legacy, was elected president, and he didn't want his political rival, Sam Houston, to come into the United States. So the United States was opposed to annexing Texas.
Hey, Tommy, one of the things I saw about what happened at Goliad was that Fanon had been instructed to pull out much sooner, and he didn't. And they said Sam Houston was upset with that, and when he went to forcibly tell him to start moving, it was too late. Have you seen anything on that?
Correct. What Fanon did was that he asked for orders to withdraw, because he didn't want to withdraw on his own authority. He thought it would look bad for him. And because he hesitated and waited for the order to actually come back to withdraw, it was too late. Of course, if he had actually just done something, either made it to the Alamo or withdrawn earlier, either decision would be historically supportable. The former Army officer in me says march to the sound of the guns, and he should have made it to the Alamo, because the historical parameters around fighting the Mexican army is that if the Mexicans outnumbered the Texans by 13 to 1 or less, they always lost. If they outnumbered the Americans or Texans by 13 to 1 or more, they always won. And so if Fannin had been able to reinforce the Alamo, the garrison would have been strong enough to have held out for some time.
Right, and I remember seeing something where because he did leave late, that he left most of his cannons behind and they didn't have much to protect themselves with.
Yeah, so he ended up getting caught in an open field at the Battle of Coeto Creek, where the Mexican army with its superior numbers was able to surround him. The cavalry was able to get ahead in front of him and block his path to retreat. And so he was just caught out in an open field with the only options were bad, which was either to fight to the death or to surrender, and he chose surrender.
Okay, well, that's the music. Hang on, folks. Short segment coming up. We'll do something in a few minutes and go on to hour two, Republic of Texas Radio.
Like you.
For the most amazing, calming, brain-stabilizing, blood sugar, and natural addiction-breaking formula, try CalMind. Anxiety melts, panic is gone, sleep is restful, and you'll stay calm during stress. Better than booze, mind-altering drugs, or anti-anxiety, antidepressant, toxic medications, CalMind lubricates your mind so you'll sail through the day effortlessly. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com and listen to the NutriMedical Report on GCN with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. There's more money in treating symptoms. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Now, this is our short little segment, about 4 minutes, 50 seconds, something like that. And we have a big subject. We just went through, you know, the Republic of Texas becoming the Republic of Texas. The Republic of Texas was pretty much broke as far as money goes. They didn't have a whole bunch of gold. They had a lot of debt. United States of America wanted the land called, you know, Texas, but Texas was a nation. And I'm going to throw this one at you, Tommy, and I know you've heard this argument before, that the United States of America didn't have the ability to incorporate another country into itself. Right. You've heard that argument. That's the secession, non-secession argument. How do you see that? Because I know there's a treaty that was signed, the treaty of, you know, whatever, April 12th, 1844, the treaty annexation. What is your take on that?
It was actually rejected by the U.S. Senate. So that treaty never happened.
Okay. So here's
the background on that. I'll do a quick run-up to it because it's kind of important, and this is all the stuff that they don't talk about in school, and kind of here's why. One of the things that's important in the relationships between Texas, the United States, and Mexico is the role played by Great Britain and France. Great Britain and France had loaned a whole lot of money to Mexico, and Santa Anna had used it to build an army. And Mexico was heavily in debt to Great Britain and France. During the time of the Republic of Texas, Texas is heavily in debt to bankers in the United States in order to finance its army that it needed in order to defend the frontier. So what we have now is Great Britain decides to intervene in this and try and broker peace between Texas and Mexico, and at first gives the idea to both parties that if Texas would agree to rejoin Mexico, Britain would guarantee that Texas would become essentially kind of an independent state within Mexico. Texas tells Great Britain, get lost, no way. Mexico says, yeah, we kind of like the idea, and that means that Great Britain is now going to support us, so Mexico declares war on Texas. The British say, wait a minute, that's not what we had in mind at all. And the reason why the British were into this is not only did they want to get their money back, but they wanted to have Mexico developed as a source of cotton so Great Britain could buy cotton from Mexico instead of the southern United States, because the southern United States was making too much money, the British thought, off of them by selling them cotton.
British mercantile system.
Money's always involved at some point. Okay, so, yes, of course. So what happens now is the United States doesn't want to get involved in this mess, because if they come in with Texas being part of the United States, then there's the likelihood of war with Mexico and possibly Britain. And so that's one of the reasons why the treaty between the United States and Texas for Texas annexation is rejected by the Senate. And in fact, it's rejected by closer to 2-1. Because now the reason why the treaty only got as far as it did was that the East Coast bankers would get paid $6.5 million in order to get rid of the debts of the Republic of Texas.
Okay, we'll continue this at the top of the hour, and then we'll move on to whatever. Your calls will be accepted, 1-800-313-9443. We'll take you after a few minutes after we figure out how Texas fit into the United States.
Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You're listening.